enjoyed that. That was nice and feminine, wasn't it? I like that. Good singing tonight. Very good. All right, let's go to Psalm 119. Let's start there, all right? And I'll refer to the verse over in 1 Peter chapter 2. We won't turn over there tonight. We won't start there. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. We've been talking a couple of two Wednesdays ago about the spiritual appetite. That's one of the biblical evidences of salvation. If you have the presence of spiritual appetites in your life, we talked about that. And we talked about the fact that this appetite is for the Word of God. And in doing so, God has provided us with everything necessary to sustain our spiritual life. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 9. The Bible says in Psalm 119, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And verse number 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law tonight. And I pray something that's said would be helpful. May this be encouraging, practical, Lord, appropriate, applicable for the occasion, Lord, as we are seeking to live for you in these days. Help me, I pray, a clear mind, clear speech, and may the Word of God have open course tonight, Lord. Free course in this room and in our hearts is my prayer. In Jesus' name, and amen. We said last week that one of the things that God did when He gave us an appetite for His Word was provide nourishing food for our spiritual life. Now, the thing we're going to talk about tonight is the fact that His Word is also cleansing water. His Word is cleansing water. If you've heard this outline before, it's because I preached a message years ago. I still preach it in youth meetings when I have the opportunity on what the Bible is to us. And I used 4 or 5 points in that message. I am expounding on these points 1 point per week during these Wednesday nights. His Word is nourishing food. Number 2, His Word is cleansing water. When God saved us, He created within us spiritual appetites, just as a baby has an inborn physical appetite. And I mean immediately. I mean real soon after birth, that baby has a spiritual appetite. So a baby Christian has an inborn spiritual appetite after he or she is born again. There's that inborn spiritual appetite, just as a baby desires milk. So the verse in 1 Peter chapter 2 says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, God did us a great favor when He created us with this spiritual appetite, when He gave us this spiritual appetite. Because, you see, He created the appetite for the Word, and then He put in the Word provision for the necessities of a healthy spiritual life. You know, God created spiritual. That baby has an appetite for milk. As I said 2 weeks ago, you put a T-bone steak in front of that baby, it's not going to impress them. You put a smoked pork chop in front of that baby, it's not going to impress them. Their appetite is for milk, all right? Now, and God put in the mother's milk everything that baby needs, if everything's in order. Everything that baby needs for physical nourishment is in that mother's milk. Now, everything that a child of God needs for nourishment and for other things is founded in this book right here. So God gives us the appetite, and then He gives us the fulfillment of that appetite. He puts an appetite in us for the Word, and then He puts in the Word all that we need to satisfy the appetite. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Now, God did us a favor when He did that, okay? That's a good setup. He gives us a hunger for that which contains the basic necessities of the Christian life. He gives us a hunger for that which is nourishing food. I'm not going to reteach that lesson. This book is nourishing food to every child of God. It gives you joy, gives you strength and nourishment today, today, today as a child of God. Now, this book is also cleansing water. Just like you have an appetite as a human being to be fed, you have an appetite as a human being to be clean if you're normal and right. Am I right about that? Hey, you got an appetite to be clean. The power went off at the house, I think, I don't know, hour and a half, I guess. And it was incredible. I was going to the hospital to make the visits down there. So I got ready to leave about 5. And the power was already off. And we have a well, which means we have a pump, which means when we don't have power, we don't have any water. And so we got a holding tank in the basement. And I knew the kids were coming home and would need showers, and I wanted one. So I said, well, first come, first serve. I'm sorry. In this case, I'm not going to be unselfish. I'm going to be selfish. So I ran upstairs, had to turn enough water on to get wet, shut it off, lathered up with soap all over, turned enough water on to get rinsed off. And by that time, the pressure was almost gone. And so Abby came home, and the girls were in an uproar. How are we going to take a bath? How are we going to take a bath? Oh, how are we going to take a shower? Going to take a shower. They were all up in an uproar. Then 5-10 minutes later, the boy came home. He had been here at the school helping with the project. He came home. Oh, no. How am I going to eat? And I thought, boy, isn't that the correct picture? The difference between male and female. You know, the female's looking for a bath, and the boy's looking for something to eat. Amen. Now, if that's not true girl and true boy, I don't know what is. Amen. I'm glad it's that way. But thankfully, both their appetites were satisfied because the power came on. Amen. So they got to take a bath, and I'm sure they found something to eat. I would think it'd be easier to find something to satisfy the appetite for hunger when the power's off than it would be to satisfy the appetite for a bath when the power's off. But anyway, that's normal. An appetite for food is a normal thing. It's appetite for being clean, appetite to be clean. You have that desire inside of you. Now, His Word is nourishing food, then His Word is also cleansing water. You see, not only do we need nourishment to give us strength, we must have water to keep us clean. Now, water obviously keeps us clean on the outside. There's nothing more disgusting than someone who does not practice personal hygiene. And we've all been around people like that. And it's sad, okay? And a lot of times it's because they've never been taught. Sometimes it's because they're lazy. That's right. Sometimes it's because they've never been taught. Now, there's something equally disgusting. That's disgusting to me and you. But there's something equally disgusting to God about one of His children who does not practice good spiritual hygiene. What physical uncleanliness is to me and you is what spiritual uncleanliness is to God. It's nauseating. He takes no delight in that, see. Now, God gave His people, the Israelites in the Old Testament, many laws for the cleansing and purification of the body. And if you've read the Old Testament, you know what I'm talking about. Leviticus, Numbers, I mean, there's law after law after law after law concerning the purification of the body, the cleansing of the body, what they had to go through after disease, after other situations to be clean. He was concerned about that, okay? Put a lot of that in the Old Testament. They were very detailed. They were very exact laws that had to be followed. God expected His people to live by those laws. Now, in the New Testament day, after salvation, God expects His people to keep clean. And I don't think He only expects us to keep clean outwardly. He expects us to keep clean inwardly as well. And that's why He gave us cleansing water in this book right here. He gave us a book that has the power of cleansing water because He wants us to be clean. Now look at three or four things here tonight. Number one, the need for cleansing. The need for cleansing. It goes without saying that we live in a dirty world. A dirty world. Now we live in a dirty world physically. There is a reason why we need to take a shower or a bath every day or night. Because just moving about in this world creates the need for being washed, to wash and be clean, okay? And then if you do anything more than just move around, the dirt of this world sticks all over us. Sometimes you work outside, some of you men have manual labor type jobs, you sweat, the grime. I remember when I worked at Thrall Cars, the dirtiest place I've ever worked outside of a garden, maybe. Thrall Car was dirty. I would get done off the shift, get done at 12:30, sometimes 1:30 in the morning. And I'm telling you, I would blow my nose and soot would come out of my nose. My clothes were filthy. I'd take a shower or a bath. The water would be gray, just filth from all the welding and all the burning with torches and everything that was going on in that factory making railroad cars. We used to make those grain hoppers, had those three bottom chutes to them. And sometimes I even see it. If I'm stopped at a railroad crossing, I'll see Thrall Car still. And amazed that it's still held together. Amen. After all these years. Who knows? And so anyway, that's where I met Keith Lockwood. Where I met Bob Basendak. And he got saved and went on to marry Russell Anderson's daughter. But that's the filthiest place I have ever worked. I mean, it was filthy. Your ears would be dirt. Everything about you would be filthy when you got done at Thrall Car. Outdoor activities. Outdoor work. outdoor play. If you get outside in the outdoors, you move around, mess around, you're going to pick up the dirt of this world. It requires a bath. It requires a shower. Somebody who doesn't take one is disgusting. Amen and amen and amen. And I've told stories about that, but I'm not going to tell more stories again tonight. Because you've heard them all anyway. Amen. So I can't think of any new ones, so I'll just keep going there. So it is with the dirt of this world spiritually. The dirt of this world spiritually. Folks, look at through the eye gate and the ear gate, we pick up so much dirt just moving around in this world. It becomes necessary for us to take a spiritual bath. I am convinced that we don't have any idea how much dirt we pick up just through the eye gate and the ear gate. I mean, I'm not talking about physical dirt now. I'm talking about spiritual dirt. I'm talking about wickedness. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about evil. I'm talking about iniquity. I'm talking about wrong. It's all around us. Your eyes are open. Your ears are open. The eye gate, the ear gate. Here it comes flooding right into your mind, into your heart, your thoughts, your emotions. You get caught up in all that sometimes. I mean, just living in this world, thy daily contact with the world, the dirt just, I mean, just, it's just filthy. You know, you ever, little kids, I remember, remember when your kids were small. Some of you have small kids now. But little kids don't, they don't realize how dirty they get while they play outside. You ever told one of them to go take a bath? A bath? But Mom, I'm not dirty. Look at your hands. You hold their hand up like, filthy. Just caked in dirt, smudged, grime. Up to the elbows, I mean, they're just filthy. Just filthy little pigs. Your child ever, you know what I'm talking about? Sure. You know, but I guess it's maybe before the computer age when kids used to play outdoors. Amen. And they come inside just filthy and you tell your, take a bath. I don't need a bath. I'm not dirty. Look at you. Look at you. You're filthy. You know, and to the trained eye, not even a trained eye, but to a mother's eye, there's a filthy little child there. Got to have a bath. Got to have a bath. Now, as a little child, they don't understand the need. They don't want to take the time. It's a waste of time. They've got to go to their room, take their clothes off, get in the tub, get cleaned. I mean, it's a waste of time to have to take a bath. It's just so boring. You can't do anything else but take a bath. Play with a rubber duck or something. I don't know, but not much you can do. Taking a bath. Just take a bath. So it's boring to them. But the older a person becomes, the more they learn to take a bath or a shower on their own. You probably don't have to send your teenager to take a shower. If you do, then talk to somebody, okay, because there's problems. The problem with teenagers is they won't take one all the time. 3 or 4 a day. What are you doing? Oh, it'll be dirty. They get very self-conscious about their hygiene. And that's okay. That's good. They want to smell right, look right. Huh? You don't have to add a teenager. I don't think there's any adult in here who's trained and got some maturity who regrets having to take a bath or a shower. Okay? That goes with maturity. So it is with spiritual cleansing. The more mature I become, the more aware I am of my spiritual hygiene. If I'm an immature Christian, I'm not too concerned about my hygiene. If I'm a mature Christian, I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about whether I can look somebody in the eye or if I try to hide and get away from them and not look them in the eye. If I got an attitude or a spirit, I'm concerned about if there's something wrong inside of me that's not right. I don't want to linger like that. I want to get that fixed. You don't have to take a mature person by the hand and make them take a bath. A mature person seeks a bath on their own. And the same is true about spiritual maturity. Little bitty children don't seek a bath. They have to be made to bathe. But mature people know how to take a bath. Now, folks, that we get dirty in this world. We get dirty in this world. Every day we live, we get dirty through the eye gate, through the ear gate. It's impossible. It's impossible unless you're shut up in a house all day long, God's music playing and all that and so forth and so on. But if you go out at all, you're going to get dirt in the eye gate and the ear gate. So what does that mean? Need a bath. It means I need a bath. Means I need to take a bath. I need to be clean. So the need for cleansing. Wait a minute. Not only do we need cleansing from the dirt of the world around us, but we need cleansing from the dirt that's within us. And there's plenty of that. In fact, that's probably more of our trouble than the dirt on the outside. The most of our trouble probably comes from within us. Now you think about this. We get viruses and we get germs that cause sickness and disease. And one of the greatest deterrents to flushing disease and germs from the body is what? Water. Let me tell you, drink water. Drink water. I promoted that emergency for so long, and I still use that occasionally. But I'll tell you what, sometimes too much citric acid is not good for me. It's 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C in every one of those little emergency packs. After about 3 or 4 days of that, it's not good for my body. And every time when I got a cold this past winter, I just started guzzling the water. And it was amazing how quick that thing was flushed out of my system. Guzzling water. Some of you folks do that. You drink a lot. Health professionals tell us that you should drink 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. That's 64 ounces. That's a half a gallon, isn't it? That right? Half a gallon of water. That's a half a gallon of water. Think about it, folks. Do you think you consume that much water in one day's time? I'm talking about H2O. I'm talking about H2O. Do you consume that much water? That's really what we should be taking in. It's the majority of what I drink now. Sometimes I put a little coffee in it to make it have some taste. Amen. It's made out of water. I can't tell you when's the last time I had a glass of tea. Can't tell you when's the last time I had a glass of pop. Have some orange juice in the morning, maybe some cranberry juice. I like that, but I drink water. Water. Go to a restaurant, get water. Water. Saves $1.89 at the restaurant. And never have charged me for a refill of water yet. Drink it, water. That flushes the impurities out. It flushes you, boy, you go on a water fast. It's good for you. Good for your body. Why? It cleanses you from those germs and impurities, diseases that may be residing within. Now listen, in the same fashion, see, spiritually we need cleansing from the dirt of the world that is external around us, but we also need cleansing from the old sin nature within us. And just as water flushes out impurities within our bodies, so the water of God's Word flushes out the impurities of the old nature. Now, if we took time to go over to Mark chapter 7 tonight, we won't. The Pharisees were so concerned and upset that the disciples of Jesus were eating their food without washing their hands. Oh, my, look at that. Can you imagine that? Look at those disciples. They're eating that. They've been fishing, cleaning fish. And now they're eating food. They haven't even taken time to wash their hands. And Jesus said, fellas, the greater concern is not that which goes into the man. The greater concern is that which is already in him. Now, if I went around tonight, if we just took a little survey, and I mean if we could just take a little survey, write on a piece of paper the two or three things maybe going on in your life right now or going on, maybe that have gone on in your life, or the things in our lives that give us the biggest fits, I doubt very seriously that there'd be too many pieces of paper with the word alcohol on there. It might be a few. Might be a few that say cigarettes. Might be a few that say lottery. Might be a few that say chewing tobacco. Maybe some that say pornography. I'll tell you what the most of our dealings are with, folks, is not that which is on the not that which is around us. It's what's within us. That's where our problems are. It's the things that are within us. It's exactly what Jesus Christ said. He said the greater concern here is not that which goes into the man, it's that which is already in the man. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, hear that, within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And those are the things that I need to keep my heart cleansed from. That's why I need water. Those germs are inside me. Those diseases are going on inside me. Those sicknesses, and that's a mild term for those things. Those are not diseases, they're not germs, and they're not sicknesses, but I'm using those terms for the core use of the illustration. They need to be flushed out with water. They're not diseases, they're sins. The only thing that can cleanse those is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The washing of the water of the Word. It's the stuff inside me. Be honest tonight. It's the stuff inside you. It's the junk in your heart. It's the ugly. It's the jealousy. It's the envy. It's that bitterness. It's that anger. It's all that just swells up from within. Those are the things that would appear on the pieces of paper. If we had to list the things that gave us the most difficulty in life, it would not say, and by the way, it is... Why would Satan waste his time tempting some of us with a beer? Huh? Why would he waste his time tempting some of us with a cigar? I saw a woman smoking a big cigar yesterday. Help us. I thought, my gracious. I don't mean, look, I think one of the ugliest things in the world is a woman smoking, period, anything. But if they're little Virginia Slims or some little slim thing, Swisher Sweets or something, I mean, you know, but to have a great big old stogie. Some of you are guilty. Some of you have been there, done that. Some of you ladies shaking your head like you smoked Swisher Sweets at one time. And this woman had a great big stogie. I mean, God, not. It was sickening. It's sickening. But there's a reason why, you know, why would Satan waste his time putting a stogie in front of us or a can of Budweiser when we're eaten up with jealousy? Who cares? Who cares if it's Budweiser or jealousy? As long as they're dirty, he's happy. He doesn't care if it's a lottery ticket or something else, or some big external thing. Why waste his time tempting us with that if our anger is, we're so full of anger and bitterness we can't look somebody in the eye, that why would I waste my time with a beer on that person? They're already defiled. Hello? Somebody's phone is ringing. Is your phone ringing, Kelly? The Swisher Sweets got her. Amen. Girl, it's the Lord calling. Give him up. Get him out of your purse, Kelly. Piano player at the church shouldn't be smoking Swisher Sweets. Oh, boy. Convenient time to leave. Amen. Oh, my goodness. The need, I'm talking about the need for cleansing. The need for cleansing is present in every believer's life. I tell you, folks, we really get ourselves so slicked up, and I'm for that. And I do not make light of people who take steps to personally separate in appearance from the world unto Jesus Christ. I think that's wonderful. But then you get that done, and the inside's full of dead men's bones. Make clean the outside of the platter, but the inside of the cup is full of filthiness. And Satan goes on his way. Well, that's great. Glad you got that haircut, but what's on the inside? Same with me. I've been cutting my hair like this for 31 years now. But what's on the inside? See, that's what I need. The need for cleansing is with us every day. Every day. From the external, eye gate, ear gate, and more so from that which is already in us. It's already in us. Now look at the power for cleansing. Look at Psalm 119. Look at the power for cleansing. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Just like the nourishment needed is found in the Word, so is the power for cleansing found in the Word. The nourishment for strength is not in funny stories, it's not in emotional stories or good music, or neither is the power for cleansing. Neither is the power for cleansing. Power for cleansing is not found in emotional stories and good music. The power for cleansing comes from the Word of God. You know what Charles Spurgeon said? Spurgeon said, the best thing, thy word. In the best place have I hid in my heart for the best of purposes, that I might not sin against thee. And boy, I think those two words are important, against thee. Who's sin against? Sin is against God. You see, friend, not all sin is against everybody. But all sin is against God. And the greatest reason not to sin is so that we might not grieve Him. He is grieved by my sin. He is grieved. So my purpose in having the Bible in my heart, the purpose for reading the Bible and exposing the Bible to my mind and heart on a daily basis, is so that I can sin less against God. Grieve Him less. Because the great God paid such a price for my salvation, and every time I sin against Him willfully, He is grieved by that. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to hurt Him. I don't want to sin against Him. I don't want to grieve Him. Therefore, I need the Word of God in my heart. Because that's the only place I find power for cleansing. Keep me from sin. Got to have it. I've used the illustration before. If you take this, you take, and I've used this illustration a couple, three times, you'll remember it. Some of you may have heard it before. You take a private. What's a private? E5? Is that a private? I'm not familiar. Sorry? E1, take a private, E1. If he walks up to another private, another E1, and smacks him in the face, he's probably going to spend a little time peeling potatoes. Going to get in trouble. There's a consequence, right? If he walks up to a sergeant, he walks up to his drill sergeant, smacks the same exact thing, punches him in the face, now he's going to get a little bit more time. And maybe some more severe consequences. If he walks up to a captain, same offense, punches the captain, he might be court-martialed. And if the President of the United States comes by the handshaking line and he's standing close enough and he rears back with his arm to punch the President of the United States, the Secret Service guys are going to pull out their Uzis and kill him. Same offense, but different consequences because of the what? Rank? President's Commander-in-Chief? So who is sin against? So you lie to your school teacher. You think you just do a little thing against the school teacher? You're sinning against God. Do you lie to your employer? You think it's, just a little lie to my employer to save my neck? No, you're sinning against God. You get a burr in your saddle against a brother in the church or a sister in the church. I'll show you. You think you're showing them. You know who you're grieving? God. All sin is against God. That's who it's against. Yeah. We got to look at it in that light. The best place is my heart. The best thing, the Word of God, the best place in my heart for the best of purposes, that I might not sin against thee. This is why I need to be in this book. This is why God gave me an appetite for this book, because it's nourishing food. It's cleansing water. It keeps me clean. It keeps me from grieving Him on a day-to-day basis. Nobody goes through a day without grieving God to some degree. But you just don't want to live, folks. You don't want to be the child that causes God the most grief. Some of you folks that have older and grown children now, you had 2-3 kids and you had one that went through, it didn't cause you any grief. You have one that caused you multiple grief. Didn't change your love for that child. But it doesn't erase the fact that they caused you multiple grief. multiple, over and over and over. I don't want to do that to God. I don't want to be the multiple grief kid. He paid too high a price to save me. He parted with his son. He broke fellowship with Jesus to save me. I don't want to be the multiple grief kid. You shouldn't either. We don't want to be the child that's always grieving him. What has power to help us keep from doing that? The Bible has power to keep me from grieving God, to keep me from sinning against Him. That's why I need to be in it. I need to read it every day. It's like cleansing water. It's what water does to your body. It cleanses you, cleanses you. See, the Bible has power. Listen, not only to, I'm almost done here. The Bible has power not only to point out my sin, but to also convict me of it. You see, the same thing we use trying to win people to Christ, we got to apply to ourselves after we get saved. You talk to a person trying to win them to Christ, you understand that you're a sinner. Oh yeah, sure, everybody is. That person hasn't got it yet. Did you hear me? That person hasn't got it yet. Are you a sinner? Oh, yes, sure, everybody is. No, you're not getting it. You're a sinner. This is not about everybody else. This is about your sin before God. By the way, folks, you shouldn't push the issue. If you can't, if they can't get past the fact that they, you know, oh, yeah, everybody is. You better slow down. I appreciate Brother Nichols over here Sunday morning. This fella, he gave him the pen of salvation. Ray wanted him to get saved. The fella said, I don't think I'm ready. You can twist the prayer out of him. It won't mean a hill of beans. No, it's not enough. It's not enough. Okay, you're a sinner. Oh, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. No. You got to get this, sir. It's not only recognizing that you're a sinner, it's getting under the guilt and the conviction of that sin. Oh, I am a sinner. I have sinned against Him. I am a guilty sinner. The same thing is true after we get saved. How about that lie? Oh yeah, everybody does it. How about that anger? Oh, I guess so. Everybody has a problem with the temper. This everybody stuff is not getting it. It's me. What has the power to put the finger on my sin? This book right here. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of matter. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm telling you what, when you read this Bible with open face, open heart, the Spirit of God will use the words of this book to put His finger on your sin. It's happened to me. I have felt it. The pressure of conviction. And it wasn't in a church service. It was in devotions. God, do that every day. I want that every day. This is what keeps me clean. It's what keeps you clean. It's what keeps us clean. So we're not the child always grieving God. The Bible has the power to bring me under that guilt and conviction. Let me say this tonight. A reservoir of God's Word in my heart will help me overcome sin. Let me tell you this. If you are given to a particular sin, then you need to get you a concordance or get you some kind of book that groups verses together. You need to get all the verses you can on that particular sin and commit them to memory. Is it anger? Is it pride? It's probably not alcohol. Is it bitterness? I just rejoice. There's so many things that are behind the scene in the church. And a dear lady in our church is making tremendous strides right now in her life in the area of bitterness. Just tremendous strides. I mean, unbelievable things happening. She called me this morning, 20 minutes till 7. She was headed somewhere and got something. It's just tremendous. It's just tremendous. I rejoice. If you got trouble with a certain particular sin, commit a bunch of Bible verses to memory. If you have a child who's having trouble with a particular sin, lying or whatever, anger, get verses on it and commit. Make that child, work with that child to commit those verses to memory. Oh, come on, Brother Angel, what will it do? It's the Word of God. It has power. Tremendous power. You had the reservoir of the Word of God built up. I won't even take the time tonight to talk about the difference between forgiveness and cleansing. I've done that. I've got to quit. But there's a difference between forgiveness and cleansing. 1 John 1:9. When is the time for cleansing? Look what it says in verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man? The Bible indicates that the time to begin the cleansing is in your youth. Wherewithal shall a young man? Let me ask you a question. What's going to make the next generation cleaner than this one? Education? Sorry. I know Christian people just so over their heels, head over heels in education. They think education is the answer to everything. I'm sorry. Education is not going to make the next generation cleaner than this one. That book is right there. Dr. Vineyard said, there's nothing that a Christian who goes 30 days without his Bible won't do. 30 days. The time for cleansing is now. And I was going to show you tonight a heavy term, but let me just read this to you. The joy of cleansing. Isn't that funny? The joy of cleansing. You see, Psalm 51, David's praying and he's confessing his sin to God. He's getting clean. Listen to what he says. Listen to these seven, about these seven phrases. Isn't that amazing? Seven. That's the number of what? Completion, maturity, perfection. Phrase number one, blot out my transgressions. Number two, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Phrase three, cleanse me from my sin. Phrase four, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Phrase five, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Phrase six, blot out all mine iniquities. Phrase seven, create in me a clean heart. And then he said, restore unto me the joy. Let's see, seven phrases that deal with cleansing and then the joy can be restored. So complete cleansing puts a smile on my face. Oh, I got it. What takes it away then? Dirt. Dirt. Isn't that funny? The first two appetites, nourishing food and cleansing water, both of them have to do with joy. You get fed right, you'll feel your joy. You get cleaned up. What was it Steve Epley said? Brother Terry, the thing I've seen in over 200 churches is I've never seen a day where there's a famine of joy in God's people. Well, maybe we better find out what's stealing it. If there's no joy, that's not normal. Huh? You ever get around kids? Well, kids are just having a little scrap, 5 minutes later. The parents are fighting 5 days later. But the kids are okay 5 minutes later. You see a child like this? Something's not right. We got a little boy in school. Hey, call his name. How you doing? Great! I love it. Every time. Great! And he is. That's normal. How you doing, child of God? Great. I've been eating good and I'm clean. Phew. I can smile tonight. Huh? See, if I'm like that, it's hard for anybody else to steal my joy. You know why I have no joy? It's not because of you, it's because of me. If I have no joy, it's because of me. If you have no joy, it's not anybody else's fault. It's yours. Get a good meal and a good bath. That'll help right there. That'll help. You remember how good it felt to take that hot shower after you got all sweaty, nasty? Remember how good it felt, man? Stepped out of that bathroom. Invigorated. And when you get in that book right there and the Spirit of God puts His finger on something and, dear Lord, please get that attitude out of me. The truth is, this is not necessary. I'm sorry. Forgive me. God gives you a good old bath. Get up off your knees or come out of that couch or come out of your devotion time. Feeling good. Cleaned up. That's what that book is. It's cleansing water. Amen. Get a good meal, a good bath at the same time. That's a pretty good deal. Well, the old Westerners used to pull into the saloon, didn't they? Huh? Get them a meal and a bath. 5 cents. A nickel. And all the Louis L'Amour books, right? Flipped them a quarter and got a meal and a bath. Yep, it's free tomorrow morning. Amen. 5:30, 5:45, it'd be free. Free meal, free bath, just mine for the heaven. And yours too. Time to get in the Bible. Let's pray together. Thank you for coming tonight. Listen, God bless you. Let's pray. Jesus, bless us. Help us to be a people of your book. Keep us clean, I pray, in this dirty, old, filthy world. Lord, truth of the matter is, if we had to be honest with you, we ought to be. We ought to be. Truth of the matter is, Lord, we get dirty every day. If not from that which is outside us, from that which is inside us, it's just in us. We need to be washed. We need to take a good bath. David said when he got all cleaned up, he knew the joy of salvation would come back to him. Bring back the joy, Lord, please. Put a smile on somebody's face. It's been missing for a few days. Give us a victory. Thank you for giving us an appetite for your word and then putting in your word everything we need. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. It's an invitation. It's a invitation. Come on, let's go.